Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is time for us to gather round the word. Gather round your truth. Plant some incorruptible seeds that you have breathed into our hearts. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom we have to read, study, meditate on your word. Thank you for the freedom of resources that we have to get your word. I speak our understanding now as we sow these seeds. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen by the enemy. Understanding so that they grow and develop fruit. Because I thank you, Father, that it's fruit that we desire in our lives. Thank you that you have provided the root for us to produce fruit. And we just want to do that in our lives going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to carry on from where I left off last week. Well, actually, I'm going to go back and do it again, kind of. I was started speaking about positive mental health, good mental health, about peace, equating peace to having good mental health. And I spoke about a model that we could use to help us to live in that state. And I used personal testimony and examples. And it sure blessed me. Hope it blessed you. I had some great feedback. That was really good. And I've been pondering what to share this week. And I hadn't really decided until yesterday. But it's been a good week pondering on the message of what am I going to bring, what we're going to reinforce, what's going to be new. And I used Isaiah 26:3 as a basis for last week's message. And that was, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Very, very important foundational truth, that scripture. And that's what I spoke on last week in the message. Wonderful truth on how to live in peace, and so easy to understand. You keep your mind on him, you will be in peace, but so easy to move away from. So easy to forget as well. And the great thing is, it wasn't only peace. What type of peace was it?
Perfect.
Perfect peace. Absolutely wonderful. But if there's something set, I was going to say set in stone, it's not set, you know what I mean. Yeah. If there's something like that so blatant in the word and easy to understand, the unfortunate thing is that the opposite is true as well. If we are not living in perfect peace, we can know for absolute certainty that our mind is not stayed on God. So it's all my fault, is it, Vic? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, if our mind is stayed on him and we are in peace, if we're not in peace, our mind is not stayed on him. I couldn't find that formula, Carol. I'll look for it again. It's there somewhere because I know I had a PowerPoint slide with it, with this equation. I'll find it. But the unfortunate thing, if an equation is true one way, it's true the other way. So if our mind is stayed on him and we're in peace, if we're not in peace, our mind is not on him. Easy, simple, very easy to understand. If we're not in peace, we are thinking on, meditating on, focusing on something, somewhere, or someone else other than God. It's really that simple. Now, if we can grasp that truth, we can really make a difference to our daily lives and the quality of those lives with regards and in the context of peace. Now, who wants to have peace in their life? Who wants more peace? There's some of you not putting your hands up. You want to put your hands up. You should be putting your hands up. If you're not putting your hands up, you're just embarrassed, or there's something near right. We should all want to be living in more peace. That's the way we were designed to live. What did Jesus come to bring on earth?
Peace.
It's one of the things he came for. We make a huge difference in our daily lives, sometimes minute by minute, by choosing what we keep our mind stayed upon. You see, it's our responsibility what we keep our mind stayed upon. It's no one else's responsibility. It's not God's. It's not your pastor's. It's not other believers. We decide. We decide what we want to keep our mind stayed upon. We decide what we focus on. We decide what we watch. We decide what we read. See, what I've been telling myself this week is it's no one else's responsibility, the level of peace I'm in, than my own. It's down to me. I don't consciously choose to say, right, for the next 10 minutes I'm going to be in peace, and for the next half an hour I'm going to choose to have a little bit of turmoil and anxiety. I don't consciously think like that, guys, but I choose. And you do too. Your level of peace is not consciously chosen by you, but you do choose to the level of peace that you live in. Now that may sound harsh. I don't mean to be harsh, but it's the truth. Because it's what the word says. I don't think I've asked you this for a while. I haven't held this up and said, do you believe in this?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah. Don't come to me then when I tell you these wonderful truths out the words. That you decide the level of peace that you live under. We all do. Now, we don't do it consciously. We're not, oh, I'm going to have a bad day today and a good day today. But we do, depending on what we focus on, depending on what we let in. That's what I've found from my experience and what the word says. It is that it is not external circumstances that will determine the level of peace. Now, you might think that if everything's going swimmingly, you have peace. If everything's going bad, you don't have peace. But it's not the external circumstances that determine the level of peace you have. It's what you do, what you think, what you focus on to do with that external circumstances. What we listen to, what we read, what we watch, what we let into our minds, and what we choose to focus on or stay on, as Isaiah says, that is what determines whether we live in peace or not. Think of the disciples and Jesus in the boat during the storm. Picture that. You all know the story. What are the disciples doing? Panicking. All over the place. Trying to throw the water out. Shouting at each other. Crying. I don't know what. I just picture a state of panic. Are they at peace? No. They're looking at the waves. They're listening to the wind. They're listening to the rain. They're feeling the wind. They're feeling the cold. Their mind has stayed on the weather. And the water coming into the boat, probably.
Yeah.
That's what their mind has stayed upon. Now, what had Jesus said before they got into the boat? Let's go to the other side. And what Jesus says should go, yeah?
Yeah.
It's the word of God, isn't it? Jesus had said, let us go to the other side. That's what he had said. He had spoken his word. Now, what were the disciples' minds stayed upon? External circumstances and the world, or his word? External circumstances. That's what they were focusing on, staying on. And they were in fear, they were in anxiety, and they were in stress. Now, in that same boat, in that same ship, in that same storm, I meant to say, where was Jesus? Sleeping at the back. In what?
Peace.
In peace. Under the same circumstances. The same external circumstances. It's not the external circumstances that cause us anxiety, fear, to live not in peace. It's what we do with it. It's not the external circumstances, it's how we deal with it. Anyone ever been in a distillery? Go on, own up. Great, isn't it? What's the most exciting thing you see in a distillery? The still house. Yeah. The great, big, robust, huge copper still. Standing there, big, bold, and robust. Has anyone ever seen a collapsed still? Oh, I have. It's not good to see. A collapsed still is when a still buckles in on itself and it gets crushed and it looks like a giant has come along and taken their giant hand and crushed it like a Coke can. Now, I've only ever seen that happen once. I'm not going to name the site because it's very, very embarrassing when you do that. It wasn't me. I did many a thing in a distillery wrong, but I never collapsed a still. But what can happen is when you're discharging a still, if the anti-collapse valve or the safety valves are not operating, you empty your still, you can create a vacuum. And the pressure on the outside, normal atmospheric pressure, will crush, will buckle that mighty, robust copper still. Now, the outside atmosphere hasn't changed. It's still the same atmospheric pressure. What's changed is something on the inside. Vacuum has been created, less pressure on the inside, more pressure on the outside. Crush that still. Nothing changed on the outside. The external circumstances hadn't changed. It was what was going on, or what there was a lack of, on the inside of that still that caused it to collapse. And it's like that for us. It's not what's outside that counts. It's what's inside that counts. It's what's in us can keep us being robust, standing tall, shiny like a copper still, or crashed. It's what's on the inside. See, we can determine the quality of our life with regards to peace or lack of it. And let me add, the quality of the lives of those around us. So much easier to live or relate to someone who is at peace, isn't that true? Instead of someone who's anxious, worried, unsettled, angry. I've seen that recently myself, the effect that I can have in our house by my level of peace or lack of it. So keeping your mind stayed on the Lord is good for everyone. Not just yourself, but for those around you. Amen. But you know what? Even though this truth is simple, even though this is easy to understand, I said that last week, like Andrew says, you need somebody to help you misunderstand this concept. You need somebody to teach against it in order to help you misunderstand it. This is so easy to understand. But it is a truth we need to keep reminding ourselves about. Why? Because we forget. It's so simple, yet it is easy to forget. We need to have constant reminders about it. I had a great start to the week. I really loved the service last week. I was back in the pulpit. I kind of felt energized, felt like myself again. And it was great. I loved the service. It was great preparing for it. Really enjoyed the start of the week. I had worship on. I was focusing on thinking, what am I going to preach on next week? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be this? What part of the word am I going to look at now? I was listening to some teaching. It was really good. Thursday morning came. Things were still great. I went spinning at the gym. It was a really hard session. It was the hardest and the best starts I'd had since I went back. And for the first time, and I think I've been going back for 4 weeks now, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pain, the sweat, knowing that my heart and lungs were thanking me for it. I really enjoyed it. Came outside, I was still in peace. And it was, I don't know if you remember Thursday morning, but it was a beautiful, cold, crisp autumn morning. The sky was blue, it was cold. Best time of the year. Things were going great. I was in so much peace, worship, music, studying the word. And then I had my peace taken away. Well, I hadn't. I let it go. I got hit with something that unsettled me. Made me feel anxious, made me feel upset, took my peace away. Or rather, I let it go away. Let it affect me for the rest of the day. Nancy came home, I started affecting her with it. Trying to spread my fear, anxiety, and stress. And yeah, it's always nice to share, isn't it? Shared it with Nancy, still bothering me, did not feel at peace. Nancy kind of tried to calm me down in her normal way. I wasn't having any of it, but never mind. Then on Friday afternoon, we'd arranged to have a video call with a really dear couple, pastors. We look on them as father and mother in the faith, love them, respect them. We wanted to speak to them about other stuff as well for some counsel and advice, but specifically wanted to speak to them about this issue that had been coming up again and again. And that was great. It was really good. And near the end of it, my friend leaned forward, kind of making his face bigger on the screen. And he said, "You know, Vic, there's a verse in the Word that says, if we keep our mind stayed on Him, we will be in perfect peace." And I kind of laughed inside. I didn't laugh to him. I laughed inside and I said, yeah, I preached on that on Sunday. We can forget. We can be so easily knocked off track. That's easily done. We can let it happen before we realise it. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, that happens to me all the time. Well, don't let it condemn you. You know, it happens to someone as good as me. As perfect as me. There's none of us immune from it. I told you that last week. There's none of us immune from stupid thoughts and illogical thoughts and lowering our mental health. There's none of us immune to it. We all do it. Things can come along. Even little things. Not always huge disasters. Even little things. And knock us off track and push us back into anxiety, concern, doubt, dismay, disbelief, and for me, anger. Not an amen, Sean. Give you a socially distanced high five. Amen. Why did that happen to me on Thursday? I'll tell you why. The answer is clearly in Isaiah 26:3. I took my mind away from the things of God and I stayed on that email and that things that was upsetting me. And I stayed on that. And the result was a lack of peace. I focused on that, on the things of the world. Guys, don't condemn yourselves when this happens. It happens. But pick yourself up. Dust yourself down, pick yourself up, dust yourself down, get back on the wagon. I don't know what you want to say. Get back into the Word, get back into the things of the Lord, and push on in those things until you return to peace. It can be done. It will be done because the Word says so.
Amen.
If you keep your mind stayed on Him, you will be in perfect peace. So some time in the Word. I mean, I mentioned it last week. I don't know what you guys do to stay on the, say your mind on the Lord. I love singing worship songs. I love going out in creation. Some people, you might like your prayer closets. Do what you need to do in the things of the Lord to get back on track. And don't be condemned. Just push on and do it. I've told you before, this stuff works. Is this true?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. And what it says will be done, but we need to be constantly reminded about it. What is it? Is it Psalm 139? No, Psalm 103. Forget not all His benefits. I mean, it's talking about forgiveness and healing. We all know we've been forgiven and healed. Why does He need to tell us that again and tell us not to forget it? Because we forget it. If we're going to forget we've been forgiven, if we're going to forget we've been healed, we're going to forget how to operate in peace. So I need to tell you, or rather, I need to tell myself and you again and again and again. I am thinking about coming on to my Christmas message, but next week's message will probably be the same as this week and last week. Why? Because we need to hear it again and again and again. Constant reminders. So this friend that was on the computer screen telling me about Isaiah 26:3. So I said, okay, what do you do? What do you do when people come at you with the kind of issues that we were being concerned with? Because he'd been getting the same kind of stuff to him as a believer and a pastor that I'd been getting to me as a believer and a pastor. What do you do then when you get this coming at you? And he said, I use the yardstick of Philippians 4:8. I use the yardstick of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Use this as a yardstick, he said. And I love that. Now, Reggie and Eden are sitting there and thinking, what the heck's a yardstick? Val might even be sitting there thinking, what the heck's a yardstick? A meter stick. A yardstick was a measuring rod, funnily enough, to measure a yard. So girls, we could say a meter stick, okay? But it's also used as an analogy when we need to assess something, when we need to judge something, when we need to look at something and make up an opinion on it, in a sense to measure it. We then say we're going to use it as a yardstick. He was saying, measure what you are reading, what you are watching, what you are listening to against Philippians 4:8. Or rather, does what you are watching, reading, listening to measure up to that list in terms of what you're letting come into your mind? Does it line up with that list or does it not? Can that info that you're putting into your head, can you tick off the list in Philippians 4:8? That YouTube video you're watching, that Facebook post you're reading, that news item you're focusing on and on, that book you're reading, anything. Can you tick off all those things in Philippians 4:8? And if you can, think on it. I'll tell you what I do with it in a minute if it doesn't. I'm not going to tell you where I put it. But what's on that list? Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. E-E-I-O-U. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, any praise. True means just that, truth, but biblical truth. Is it biblical truth and not an alternative truth? I was alarmed to hear someone a couple of years ago on the news. Yes, I know, I shouldn't watch it. I was alarmed to see someone on the news a couple of years ago answering a question about certain facts by saying, yes, I agree, that is your facts, but we have alternative facts. Now, that's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. That should set alarm bells ringing. Is it truth or is it not truth? Bottom line, is it biblical? Is it biblical truth? Honest means venerable or honourable. Or is it a falsehood or is it a lie? What we're listening to. Just means equitable, by implication, innocent and holy. Innocent. What is the motive behind what you've been asked to read? What is the motive behind what you're listening to? Is there a hidden agenda there? Or is there a blatant, open, in-your-face agenda? Most of these agendas now are not even hidden. They're not even conspiracy theory anymore. It's blatant. What's the agenda behind what you're listening to? P- Pure means clean or innocent, modest, perfect. Lovely means friendly towards, acceptable. Good report means well spoken of, reputable. What's the reputation of the person you're listening to, or the book that they are, that you've been asked to read, the person that's written it? How reputable are they? How many people are listening to them? I mean, it's not always the majority's right, but, you know, is it the mainstream, or is it a couple of nut jobs? Is it Karen on Facebook? You know, you all know Karen on Facebook? She's the new expert now. She's the one that you need to go to for your information. That, you know, people are saying, you know, you don't go to professors and doctors and masters of this and masters of that anymore, who have studied for years and years and years. Just get your information from any old Karen on Facebook. Because it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm, by the way. Where are you getting your information from? Is it reputable? There is one truly 100% reputable source. That's what I've got in my hand, it's the Bible. Amen. Who is it we're listening to online? What is their reputation? What are their qualifications? Virtue means excellence, worthy of praise. If something falls into that list, if something fulfills all that list, and I say all that list, then think on those things. That's the yardstick of Philippians 4:8. Now that's quite a list. That's quite a list. And only one thing, in my view, stands up to that list. The word of God, Jesus, things of the Lord. Truth, honourable, holy, innocent, clean, acceptable, reputable, excellent, worthy of praise. It can only be the word of God, the things of the Lord. So this new covenant scripture lines up perfectly with the old covenant scripture that we looked at last week. Think on, focus, meditate upon those things, or keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. And that results in peace. This list is so clearly the word, not the news, not YouTube, not Facebook, not so-called experts. And here's a good one. Not necessarily the opinion of the saints. Not necessarily the opinion of the saints. Not necessarily the opinion of your pastor. Although you guys are blessed. Because I'm right about everything. Of course. Not even your pastor. I've told you this many times. Guys, check out what I say. For goodness sake, if I'm wrong, tell me. I mean, it might be that we disagree about it. Obviously, what I preach, I think is right. Every pastor who preaches thinks what they're preaching is right. But we all get it wrong sometimes. Dare I say, not necessarily your favourite ministry. Not necessarily your favourite minister. Not necessarily your favourite pastor. Well, we all know your favourite pastor is, but that's okay. Many in the church today are more interested in politics than the news than the word.
Yeah.
Many in the church today are taking advice and counsel from places other than the word. We need to be careful. Line it up with Philippians 4:8. Use that yardstick or meter stick. We're not allowed a yardstick now. Is that illegal, nonsense? It's got to be a meter stick.
Since we joined the EU.
Let's not go there. No, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8 is very much in line with Isaiah 26:3. In fact, it enlarges the concept. So we see this, the new covenant just enlarges something. It explains something out a little bit better. And that's what it does here. Because for me, Philippians 4:8 and then 4:9 enlarges on Isaiah 26:3 by enlarging the concept of how to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Isaiah says, keep your mind stayed on the Lord. I say, how? How can I do that? What do I need to do? Philippians 4:9 pushes Isaiah 26:3 a little bit. Look at Philippians 4:9. Those things, i.e. Ahan in Philippians 4:8. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. I see this as Paul telling us what to do with the things that are truth and honourable and clean and acceptable and reputable. We learn them. We receive them. We hear them. I said, well, that should have been first. No, we hear as in understand.
Yeah.
And then do. Paul is saying, that's what I've done. You need to learn from me. Paul learned, Paul received, Paul heard the truth, and then he did what he'd been told. Now he is telling us to do the same. You've seen me do that. So guys, now you learn, receive, hear, see what I've done, and do. Good chap to learn from. He's telling us to do the same. Listen to, focus on, meditate upon the things of the Lord, then learn, receive, hear, and do. And that to me is a great explanation of keeping your mind stayed on God.
Amen.
Learning, receiving, hearing, doing. All the things of the Lord. Learn it or understand it, receive it or associate yourself with it. Heard in this context is to give audience to and understand. And here's a great definition. What do you think the Greek definition of to do is?
To do.
Amen. Learn, receive, hear. It's all about understanding, then followed by obedience. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That kind of says a bit of peace to me. Awesome. We need to measure everything, and I mean everything, against the yardstick of Philippians 4 verse 8. Is what we are hearing, reading, watching, being asked to digest, is it biblical truth? Is it honourable? Is there an agenda or is it innocent? Is it holy? Is it from someone reputable? If it does not measure up, then it's easy. I got some great counsel from my friend on Friday. Ignore it. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't read it. Ignore it. We ignore, we dismiss. We give no further time in our mind. We do not allow it to rent space in our head. Even if it comes from saints, pastors, ministers, ministries that we admire and respect. Always, always measure it yourselves with Philippians 4:8. All the stuff I tell you. Preach at you, hopefully not at you, share with you. Measure it against Philippians 4:8. Is Vic saying that? Has he got an agenda? You know, what's his motive in telling us that? Is that really biblical truth? That's the important one. Is it biblical truth? If it does not measure up to Philippians 4:8, and we stay on it, expect trouble. Expect lack of peace, anxiety, fear, concern, dismay, anger. Expect those things. If it's not lining up with Philippians 4:8 and you stay on it, Thursday afternoon, perfect example, 4 days after preaching about it. See how long it takes for the enemy to have a go at me this week. But if it does line up with Philippians 4:8, keep it in your mind. Keep your mind stayed on it. Learn it, receive it, hear it, do it, and that will result in peace. That's what Isaiah 26:3 says. That's what Philippians 4:8 and 9 says. I urge you, I challenge you, measure up what you are reading, listening to, watching. Measure what you're being asked or told to read, watch, listen to. Measure what you're allowing in to influence your thoughts, therefore influencing your emotions, influencing your actions, and therefore influencing the quality of your life. All starts with what comes into the old noodle. what you allow in. Who remembers what giggle means? Spoke about that last week. Garbage in, garbage out. Use the yardstick of Philippians 4:8 for this measuring process all the time, but especially in these times of constant bombardment of information and data. It is getting more and more difficult to judge what is truth in these days when you're getting so much bombarded at us. There is so much opportunity to throw away your peace out there. There's a great chance. It's easily done. I told you that, didn't I? But there's more and more chances as the years and years are going along of us throwing away our peace because of all the nonsense we're getting thrown at us. I mean, back when I was young, Reggie Eden, you'll never believe this, there used to be like one news programme on at night. And if you wanted to watch the news, you had to watch it at either 9 o'clock on the BBC or 10 o'clock on ITV. Or 6 o'clock. And that's when the news was on. It's on all day now. 24-hour news. No, you know what? It's not 24-hour news. It's 24-hour supposition and judgment and nonsense. Settle down, Vic. 24-hour news now. 24-hour opinion. 24-hour whatever. And social media. Let's not go there. Is it nearly time to go? 10 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that, no. Use the yardstick of Philippians 4:8 for this measuring process, what I had put, in these especially troubled times. I mean, there's an anointing out there on how we can lose our peace. We can be anointed at it because it's so easy. Does it line up or does it not with Philippians 4:8? Let that decide what you keep your mind stayed upon. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome.